Hello, friends. Well, this is number 45 in our treatise on white magic video commentary. And I left the previous program alone too long without movement or activity on it, and it canceled it out at 35 minutes. So I was just lucky to be able to retain that much of the program which was made. That has taught me a lesson about leaving this go-to-meeting program without any kind of movement, and hopefully that will not happen. This sudden end it will not happen in dealing with number 45 rule. It's the 10th section now on rule 5. And we've been talking about a number of things, the four over the five, the transference of the lower centers to the higher rather than the direct animation of the lower centers as the energy passes through the higher without really animating them. So, and he did say a very interesting thing about character building, that if we do it right, correctly, we are in fact working with energies and forces and subjecting energies to our needs. We're subordinating the elemental lives to the requirements, and we're bringing the energy system into a right condition by that type of correct living. So the correct and the necessary necessary state of the energy system is facilitated by a program of right living. So, you know, it's not just a question of being good. It's a question of bringing the energy system to a place where it can be further advanced. And then the energies will be raised from the base of the spine, you know, starting with the third initiation and climaxing with the fifth, from the base of the spine via the solar plexus and through the medulla oblongata, which I think is a very important hint about the importance of that area of the brain. And this is the ascension of the Virgin. So anyway, where my program quit while I was acting as the engineer for a broadcast for the reappearance of the Christ, I'm carrying on from that point. So now we're talking about raising the energies to their destination, the lower to the higher energies, in a graded sequence. The transference, he says, of the positive energy of the lower centers, they are positive at first, positive to the life of man and directing his life in the three worlds, but they are to be raised into the higher centers, and that's what he's examining right now, and then I think soon he'll be examining the awakening of the head center and maybe some of its various parts. When the energy of the sacral center, focused hitherto on the work of physical creation and generation, and therefore the source of the physical sex life and interest, are sublimated, reoriented, and carried to the throat center, then the aspirant becomes a conscious creative force in the higher worlds. We become creative instead of, as it were, pro-creative. So I'll just put that down, you know. We become creative instead of pro-creative. I mean, this doesn't take place overnight, and, you know, even the masters have married and had children, but their major focus is within the head, within the higher centers, which command the ordinary centers. He enters within the veil and begins to create the pattern of things which will bring about eventually the new heavens and the new earth. So the throat center is consecrated to the new creativity in line with the divine plan. And remember that it is we have no longer is the throat center ruled by Earth, but by Saturn and to a certain extent Uranus on the seventh ray. Now Uranus is the ruler of the sacral center in both cases, and so you know we have get myself in alignment here, you know. Sorry. We have here the possibility of transmutation using the planet Uranus and raising the energy of the sacral center to the throat center. And the words we begin to pronounce are more and more the magical words of right creativity. So we pronounce the magical words of right creativity in line with the divine plan. He tells us, you know, and of course, interestingly enough, Uranus has much to do with the ruling of the major head center, tied in as it is with the archetypal purpose, finally, of the logoic plane. That reminds me, you know, of the way the Great Bear sometimes is seen as connected with the Buddhic plane, but really the hint is given that its force is coming from the Atmic plane, and I wouldn't be surprised if, again, the cosmic logoic plane is involved. Now, these are, you know, large speculative issues, and there's no way to confirm it. It's just nice for those who are interested in cosmology to get an ever-clarifying picture, which may be useful when applying the great law of analogy for the clarification of the structure of the different levels relative to each other. Okay, so that's the sacral center to the throat. Maybe I can put in here a little one, and even though it's not in the book. Now, the next one has more to do with the period approaching the second initiation. I think even Alice Bailey was involved, as I recall, in lifting some of these solar plexus energies, and she certainly had a strong recapitulatory period in which she was very much a sixth ray kind of preacher. But you know how it goes if we think of that relationship in a way that is maybe humorous and memorable at the same time, from the preacher to the teacher, from the solar plexus to the heart, from ray 6 to ray 2. Okay, when the energies of the solar plexus, expressions hitherto of the potent desire nature feeding the emotional life of the personality, are equally transmuted and reoriented, then they are carried to the heart center, and there is brought about, as a result, a realization of group consciousness. Now, here we're seeing the results of these transferences. We saw a higher form of creativity. So this is a higher form of creativity, from pro-creativity to creativity. And here we have the realization of group consciousness, group love, group purpose, which makes the aspirant a server of humanity and a fit associate of the elder brothers of the race. We certainly have to fit ourselves to be their associate. You know, it's somewhat like our relationship with the lower kingdoms, let's say the domestic animals and so forth. I think maybe the space between the domestic animal and a individualized human being is a little larger than that between the average disciple and the master, but the analogy will hold. They are not exactly our social companions, but we certainly do look after them, and some relationships are extremely close, and we are responsible for raising, let us say, the consciousness of the domestic animals into a stage from which individualization may become possible. And even in this round, although next round the major, we are told, individualization among those higher forms of animals will occur. So anyway, group consciousness, group love, group purpose, which makes the aspirant the true server. Now, so the way to sum this up is to say the heart is, that's the human race. HT would be a good heart. Let's see if I have that. No, that's the heart center. Uh-huh. Okay, well, I might as well just spell it, huh? All right. So then the heart and is a group conscious organ. And all matters pertaining to the welfare of the group come into focus when the heart center is really open. The group can be small, even another plus yourself makes a group. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am, said the Christ, or three, or whatever number. Once we start to add people in relationship to the individual. So when these three transfers have been consummated, then an activity transpires in the head center, the ultimate governing factor. So this is Vulcan, Ray 1, the governor. The seven higher centers in the head. Okay. And by an act of the will of the indwelling soul, certain happenings take place, which we can consider later in our studies. But let's just say the higher centers take over. Okay, so as I say, you know, there are sort of three levels of centers that cannot be considered really minor centers or minute centers, and they are the major chakras in the torso, let us say, and perhaps including those that are below, but those are minor, perhaps, in the torso, within the head, and then above the head. There are some books written about Hindu chakrology, I'll just call it that, which seem to give quite a bit of information on these things, but then that information has to be squared with what the Tibetan is offering, so that we make sure that we are combining the systems in a rational manner and not in a confusing manner. Okay, now, so that was the, there were three transferences, and he didn't just say so much perhaps about the transference from will to purpose. Not so much is here said about the transference from the will. Of the base of the spine center, ruled by Pluto, to the purpose of the head center, ruled by Uranus, and having within a 12-petaled lotus of the heart in head, heart in the head, ruled by Neptune, Jupiter, I think, and its jewel by Vulcan. Okay, well, that's, you know, my speculations there about the structure, but of course the true anatomical condition of the head center has to be revealed with accuracy by such a teacher as the Tibetan. And before that, we're gathering bits and pieces. I mean, we know that there are perhaps 10 tiers of 96 petals, and plus the 12 of the heart and the head center gives us 972. So we're wondering whether the 1,000-petaled lotus is not quite 1,000, but that that's simply a convenient way of remembering it. And I often wonder whether the great cluster of the Pleiades is not the higher analogy to the 1,000-petaled lotus. Already some 800 and something, I understand, Pleiades have been discovered. So we're on our way to numbers which correspond to the structure of the head center, as much as been as has been given about it. Okay, the second fact to bear in mind is that as these changes and reorientations take place, the disciple begins to awaken to new states of consciousness. There are new unfoldments that are operative in his life, to new states of existence and to new states of being, or at least to the perception of being in a broader and deeper way. I sometimes think that when it comes to pure being, you just cannot, think that pure being is other than a constant of isness. It is the great fact of the universe and its universal logos, and if we take it as far as it can go, it is not any particular existence, but it is the beingness or the absoluteness of the absolute. And at the very heart of everything we are is this unchangeable substratum. So it to me, new states of being means new states of substance through which being expresses. And when I look at existence, you know, I look at that as that which is apparently separated from, extruded from the absolute infinitude of the post-pralayic world or the pre-universal world. Post-pralayic is the same as pre-universal. It's all ruled by a great cycle we call the great breath, which has its own mysteries. It will be apparent, therefore, how necessary it is to go slowly in these matters, so that the mental apprehension and ability to reason logically and sanely may parallel the growth of the intuition and of spiritual perception. So, you know, we must learn to think clearly about the impressions, deepening impressions we receive. And when there is an imbalance there, then we have a kind of a state of revelation which cannot be understood by the one to whom it is revealed, nor can he convey to others what it is, because he does not have the mental equipment to do so. So we get this kind of a mystical state in many mystical writings, which are obscure as the author labors to explain perhaps what his mental equipment cannot fathom or assist him with. So many schools are simply forcing schools, prematurely developing the higher faculties and leading the aspirant, if I might express it in mystical language directly out of the realm of feeling and of desire into that of the intuition. All right, this is about the astral Buddhic connection, but leaving the intellectual faculties and the mental apparatus totally undeveloped and latent. Now, this is a dangerous policy, and when following Master DK, there's no danger that this type of schooling will occur, because the link of the mind between what the intuition may reveal and what the astral nature may feel and receive is strongly cultivated. So I'll just sum this up by saying that forcing is unwise, and the mind must keep pace with new energetic developments. So when this is the case, again speaking mystically, an hiatus or a gap occurs in part of the equipment which the soul must perforce use in the three worlds and its endeavor. So we then have the unbalanced state of many mystics and their inability to function intelligently in the world. So they have been transported, but they cannot apply that which is given to improving the world situation. And during the sixth ray age, they didn't really care to do that. There's a discussion, I think, in the Destiny of the Nations concerning why the physical plane had been so neglected during the sixth ray age, and it being guided by Neptune, not so much Mars perhaps, but Neptune in this case, that had no real interest in the improvement of the physical plane, but more an interest in escape from the physical plane. That's why it's so interesting to consider what are the orthodox rulers of the chakras and what are the rulers of the chakras which apply to the life of discipleship. So go there, page 517 of Esoteric Astrology, and you'll see the two lists which one should definitely memorize. So this is not advisable, and DK is wise in his advice to students so that they don't become unbalanced fanatics, which he says are not especially the chosen companions of the hierarchy of organized and illumined minds. All right. So, the interpreting, organizing, understanding mind is unable to play its part. So we might say, in a way, that the virtues of Mercury are not understood or utilized, at least in that phase of the development of the soul and incarnation. Where there is lack of understanding and of mental ability, there is a danger of misapprehension, of credulity, and of wrong interpretation of the phenomena of other states of being. So, the mind prevents many mistakes into which its lack of cultivation may lead. So, this is obviously when a teacher like Master DK comes along, it is a correction which improves our understanding over many methods of teaching, which the result of which may be the unbalanced student. A sense of values will be lacking because a certain examination of relative functions has to be there for a sense of values to occur. A sense of values will be lacking, and the aspirant will overestimate the non-essentials and fail to grasp the value of the spiritual realities. So, glamour can enter when there is imbalance. And proportion under Libra, essentially a mental sign, and how does he say it? Super mind. He connects with Libra, is necessary to cultivate. So, you know, our balanced, integrated development is what this particular master seeks. And if we are wise and not overly ambitious for the exaltation of that insignificant part of ourselves we call the personality, relatively insignificant compared to the soul, then we will proceed cautiously and not get ourselves into trouble through excessive eagerness and forcing. So anyway, the new, in summary here, excuse me, in summary, the new will emerge, re the consciousness and the abilities which can be expressed through the energy system. So energy may pour into the force center in these cases. Let's say the new will emerge, or at least should emerge if things are done correctly. And it may seem that one is delaying the progress just a little bit, and that one could move faster, but at least there will be balanced growth. And I think that is a summary idea. Balanced growth is our words which express the desirable outcome of exposure to new states of energy, existence, and the expression of being. Energy may pour into the four centers. May pour into the four centers in these cases, but because there is no directing intelligence, it will run riot, and we will have those sad cases which strew the path of occult endeavor and have brought the work of the lodge into disrepute. A warning note is being sounded. What did DK say at some point? That he said it in respect to integration. He says there's no way to prevent the newly integrated man from running across the bridge. He feels so energized by the new type of power that is coursing through him, the extra energy which comes when friction is reduced and integration supersedes friction, that he just wants to go forward at all costs and does so without restraint. But at least he is relatively integrated. The kind of situations we're dealing with here show the inpouring of energy into a rather non-integrated individual and unbalanced individual. So there are, the mind is the directing intelligence. It has about it much of the first ray. You know, as when we tell people to mind, you know, the first rays coming into this. So the directing intelligence, the fifth ray being connected with the first ray, and the first ray being the area of transfer of fifth ray types in general, when it's the soul we're speaking about. This directing intelligence has to be present or there will be chaos. Okay. And maybe DK has seen this, you know. I don't know if we've seen it. But there are some sad cases which, you know, in which lives are lost through the destruction of the type of integration which was building, but which had been destroyed through through reception of powerful energies and either their misdirection or non-direction. Sad cases which strew the path of occult endeavor and have brought the work of the lodge into disrepute. Cases of overemphasized personalities of superstitious devotees, of credulous leaders, followers of leaders, of fanatical unbalanced idealists, there's the need for balance, right? And of those warped minds which arrogate to themselves powers which are not theirs. So these are the dangers. He's just cataloged some of the major dangers. And, you know, the whole reading of DK is like a cautionary tale. If the reader of DK does not emerge with more spiritually motivated caution in his approach to the inner worlds, then the reader has not been reading carefully. All right. So, overemphasized personalities, you know, megalomania, we have, you know, megalomania, superstitious devotees, not really rationally thinking about cause. So causes, or let's just say true causes, are hidden to such types of credulous followers of leaders, you know, blind belief. A lot of these are sixth ray abuses. Here's one, fanatical, unbalanced idealists, you know, emphasizing, oh, how about spelling that word, huh? Emphasizing the part instead of the whole about which they do not care. And those warped minds, so lack of proportion, which arrogate to themselves powers which are not theirs. Interested in power and not in the well-rounded development. Warping, you know, we've seen it in wood, can be very ugly. Sometimes it's considered artistic, but you wouldn't want to live with it, I think. It's non-proportional. Men and women become swayed by astralism and wander. They don't know where they're going. They're just encountering one phenomenon after another. Wander in the veil of illusion, regarding themselves as different from other men, placing themselves upon a pedestal far above average humanity. And in fact, they are reviving powers which were dominant long ago, and in a less developed state. They fall consciously into the sin of separateness. Oh my, this is not a pretty picture of that which happens when energies descend and are not regulated. So, you know, hence the study, hence the cultivation of the mind so that it can properly direct whatever we may encounter. So this is the one great heresy, right? The great heresy of separateness, right? The one great heresy, the heresy of separateness. Add to the above category the cases of sex perversion brought about by overstimulation of the sacral center, and we would say, you know, as in Lemurian days, so much justification today is directed towards what otherwise would have been considered as perversion. I don't think I need to get into that, you know, too much, you know what I mean. And that will have to be corrected. So we have to have a, you know, what is necessary for all of us. Necessary is a balanced stimulation of the centers, that stimulation occurring in right order according to the monadic ray of the individual. Of course, it's out of the individual's hands, but the pattern of correct activation will be inbuilt into the energy system. So balance is a key factor, and in the Aquarian age, the air signs will be prominent, along with Aquarius and Libra, the sign of proportion, will be present. Lots of imbalance at first in the Libran life, but finally the individuals get a hold of themselves and learn how to produce that perfection which comes from right relationship of the energies. So this is these perversions, overstimulation of the sacral center. He tells us it ran riot among the more highly developed types in later Lemuria. The cases of neuroticism, it's an old word, it's not so much used anywhere more, but certainly in the work of Freud and Jung, it was much used. And oversensitivity and emotionalism, you know, a highly activated Neptune, which is so sensitive that it's afraid of the impacts of the physical plane, brought about by the premature vitalization of the solar plexus center. It gets worse and worse, doesn't it? And lastly, the cases of insanity brought about by overstimulation of the brain cells through unwise meditation work. We're not playing here, are we? We are not studying something which is interesting to know about serious consequences. Lie ahead for improper relationship with the sending energies. So overstimulation, you know, there in esoteric psychology too, he deals with problems of stimulation. They are very interesting according to the different rays involved. Some people get a hold of the idea of meditation and want to meditate all day, you know, hours and hours, and they will do themselves harm and lay up trouble for lives ahead, and actually, in the long run, retard their progress through wanting to advance it with undue rapidity. Okay, and it will become increasingly clear why it is deemed necessary to proceed slowly and to develop the mental processes as well as the spiritual nature. Now, you know, if after all that, we are still in a position where we don't want to hold our horses, we haven't thought clearly about the problem. The problems we will inevitably encounter, especially through an unwise and overly hasty approach. There is no rush, no hurry, say the rules of the road, and yet there is no time to lose. So I always remember Mary Bailey talking about life as if it was like guiding a battleship. We will move forward with all due deliberate speed, a very strong sort of Britishism, if you will. Okay, moving on then. I just have to marvel of how practical all this is. Obviously, we're dealing with a teacher who has had many, many students. He has, it has been said, you know, a cult rumor has it, he has had two prominent European incarnations, and one of them may have been as a Neoplatonist, Plotinus. I think he wrote the Aeneids. He had a school. He had many students. I think, you know, we're dealing here with one of the great teachers. And we are in a very privileged position to be given this teaching so devoid of glamour and exaggeration and wrong interpretation and emphasis upon the lower ego and what is possible. All you have to do is read the material on the Golden Dawn, which for whatever value it may have in other ways, it certainly has this tremendous emphasis upon individual attainment, moving higher and higher into greater and greater power as an individual. Well, certainly with the emphasis upon the heart and group consciousness, we just don't have that here. And with very good reason, as we can understand. The average student starts with the knowledge that he has centers and with the desire for purity of character. So this is, these are the kinds of desires which pertain to the path of probation. He is assured by those who know that as he strives, meditates, studies, and serves. And notice, striving is in there, right? We don't say that aspiration, which is actually a scientific method, can be dispensed with. Not at all. We have the meditation, study, and service, plus striving. We have the... Okay, come on. We have the usual three... plus aspiration. So let it never be forgotten. Even the planetary logos has his own cosmic aspiration, and on it goes with greater and greater beings. So, as he strives, meditates, and serves, it's so easy when working on one particular area of development to negate the value of the area through which one has just passed. You know, so many intelligent people negate the value of emotion. So many soul-oriented people negate the value of mentality. And many negate the value of physicality, which is the basis of it all and keeps you in incarnation so you can do something for the redemption of this condition inherited from the moon chain and from a previous solar system. So he is assured by those who know that as he strives, meditates, studies, and serves, certain changes will take place within him and that there will, from the depths of his being, there will be, I may have cut out something here, certain changes will, I hate this when this happens, but okay, it happened, so... certain changes will take place within him, and that there will arise from the depths of his being. I cut out the word arise. And that there will arise there it is, from the depths of his being, an awakening which will be dynamic. He is told that there will follow a breathing forth, a stirring and a vitalizing, which will bring his subjective spiritual life into prominence. This subjective life expresses itself as spiritual energy through the medium of the energy or vital body, and the energy thus expressed will change his life focus and interests and produce a magnetic and dynamic effect which will attract and lift humanity. This energy is sevenfold in nature and utilizes seven points, focal points, within the etheric body as its agents. So, and this is, let's just call this, you know, we will call what has just been read, this is the Great Promise, and a fairly accurate one, though not easy of attainment. So he is told this. Okay. It is not possible for the aspirant to work with and utilize all these seven types of energy intelligently in the early stages of the path of discipleship. And this is why some of the centers are seen at first in an undeveloped stage, just the way some of the planets as chakras in the solar system will develop later than others. They have higher functions which are based upon the earlier development of the lower chakras with their lower functions. It's all a question of timing and right hierarchical development. So it's not possible for the aspirant to work with and utilize all these types of energy intelligently in the early stages of the path of discipleship. The emphasis for training purposes is laid upon only three of them. Okay. So here's the way it works out practically. These are, so in other words, let's just say, gradualism is the way of right, correct building. And initiations are graded. Now you'll see the connection with gradual and graded. And of course, all of our school efforts, even in ordinary schools, are hierarchically organized. Things get more difficult and, in a way, more inclusive and synthetic as we go along. So for training purposes, three energies are emphasized. And let's see what they are here. Three energies emphasized. They are that of the will, strength or power through the medium of the head center, whatever your ray may be. Always the head carries the first ray quality. This is the energy of the spiritual man and comes directly from the monad via the soul. And so basically we have a relationship between the monad and the head. Let's just say broadly the head without getting into all the different centers. He's told us that the heart center connects with Buddhi. The head center connects with Atma. And I suspect that it is the heart in the head center which connects with the monadic plane. Up to the third initiation, however, all that the disciple needs to grasp is that the will aspect of the soul should control the personality via the mental body to the head center. Okay, so the mental body is definitely involved in this control. Things start to get a bit more practical in terms of the will and occultism at the third degree. When this is the case, the thousand-petaled lotus begins to function, and the line of this stream of force is as follows here. The first solar initiation is really the dividing line here when it comes to spirit. The dividing line after which spirit becomes practically important, not just theoretically so. So we have the monad, Atma, from which comes spiritual will, the inner circle of petals in the egoic lotus, the will petals, and maybe we shouldn't leave out the that particular synthesis petal, which is connected with will. Let's see, there is also a synthesis petal connected with will. But maybe he's just trying to be quite direct about this. It would seem to me it would have to be included. Then the mental body, the head center in the etheric body and the nervous system in the brain. This is one clear line of descent. And this line of descent is on the first ray. Then there's another line of descent, another energy, which it is possible to work with, and that is the love wisdom energy. All right. Through the medium of the heart center. This center is, when awakened, leads to that expansion of consciousness which initiates a man into his group life. This is a repeated idea. The heart and group. Response to group vibration. And if I may say, looking at this, heart centers are found on the second sublevel of the etheric portion of any plane. So in a way, the monadic area is the home of a kind of heart center, probably, well, certainly connected with one of the greater beings, either the planetary logos or maybe to some extent the solar logos. And that being the case, this heart center emphasis, it will be involved in the stream, the second level of the etheric body will be involved in this stream. And interestingly, on this second level of the mental plane, we have a type of siddhi or power called response to group vibration. Response to group vibration on the second sublevel of the mental plane. So heart, second level, group vibration. And I'm going to just sort of put those together. Heart, second sublevel of the of any etheric plane, and group vibration, especially for our purposes on the higher mental plane. He loses the sense of separateness and finally emerges into the full light of realization, a realization of unity with his own indwelling God, who is the solar angel in one respect, Okay. In one respect. Let's see if I have that there. In one respect. Okay. In one respect. Solar angel in one respect and the monad in another. And the monad in another. So he merges into the full light of realization. A realization of unity with his own indwelling God, with all humanity, with all souls and all forms of nature, and so with the Oversoul. I am one with the Oversoul, one of the three fundamentals of the secret doctrine. The fourth stream comes likewise from the monad via the soul, and its line is as follows. Now, notice the different parts of the monad. The monad is on the first ray, generically speaking, but the will part of it is especially so, the wisdom and love part on the second ray and the activity and intelligence part on the third ray. So from the monad, and probably especially from the wisdom love aspect, through the Buddhic plane of spiritual love and intuition, and here, you know, the second and fourth are closely related, through the second circle of petals in the egoic lotus, the love petals, and again, I would say through that synthesis petal, which conveys love particularly, and which is the synthesis of this second circle, the astral body, the heart center, the bloodstream. Okay. So these lines of descent are very important, very important. And they are along three ray lines, which is a factor that we can grasp, and we don't have to deal with all seven energies immediately. In the little evolved man, this force stream simply passes through the heart center, direct to the solar plexus, and expends its two aspects of vital life and soul quality, one energizing the bloodstream and the other awakening the solar plexus. So higher energies are not arrested above the diaphragm in the little evolved man. They pass straight through to the lower chakras. Okay, this then becomes the dominant factor in the energy life of the man. DK would say it becomes a positive in the energy life of the man, and the force through which his desire nature expresses itself until such a time as the aspirant begins about the needed transmutation and reorientation of his emotional desire nature, and the force through which his desire nature expresses itself, expresses itself until such a time as the aspirant brings about the needed transmutation and reorientation of his emotional desire nature. Then, the heart center, you know, there's a return to the higher center above the diaphragm. The heart center awakens into activity, and the life of the solar plexus center becomes subordinated to that of the heart, and this is brought about by the development of group interests, by the cultivation of inclusiveness, and a steady loss of interest in the personality, per se, and in things separative and selfishness. And we might say, from the astrological point of view, Mars is in the process of being overcome. Mars, a non-sacred planet. Non-sacred planet. We really ought to have that too, shouldn't we? NSPT. Oh. NSA, NSPT. Well, that, all right. We have it already, but this is even more direct. NSACPT. Uh-huh. Well, anyway, I'm just going to do it that way. And then, I'm running out of time. There is a line from the activity or intelligence aspect of the monad. So we'll review a little bit of this when we get into our next work, but I don't think we should plunge into it immediately. There's just too much here. So this brings us to page 196, and I believe we began on Forever Lost on page 192. So pages 192 to 196. And now the same will be put here at the end of our work, and so this will be the end of Treatise on White Magic webinar commentary. Rule 5.10, and it's webinar commentary or video commentary, really. Video commentary number, and what number is it, please? It's going to be number 45. Number 45 and rule 5.0 and pages 192 to 196 and beginning of Treatise on White Magic, a video commentary number 46. 5.11, the chapter's getting longer, pages 196 to whatever, probably another 4 pages or so. So we're looking at energy descents from the monad. We're looking at energies that a man can deal with, as he cannot deal with all 7 simultaneously. And the 3 major energies are going to be will and power, love, wisdom, and intelligence, coming from the 3 aspects of the monad. Okay, friends, that'll be it for right now, and we'll go on further when time allows us to do that. Okay, thank you for thinking along with me. It's a big think, isn't it? You know, the DK is material. Very comprehensive and detailed at the same time. The second ray is the ray of detailed unity and comprehensive inclusiveness. So we're going to have a lot of work to do to assemble it all and see it as one thing. All the many parts and pieces seen as one thing. Okay, see you then. Bye-bye.